From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, January 27th. Coming up, people who are incarcerated can face retaliation when they report staff sexual misconduct. We'll learn more on this story from Side Effects Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Champaign teachers are willing to strike over Unit 4's latest contract offer, which would extend the elementary school day by nearly an hour. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
About 700 Unit 4 teachers showed up to vote at Jefferson Middle School in Champaign yesterday. 91% voted to authorize their union to strike. Mike Sitch is a co-president of the Champaign Federation of Teachers. Sitch says students should still expect to attend school, at least through next week.
It's sending a clear message both to union leadership as well as the board and the community that what's on the table isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. And so what's next is for us in leadership is to make sure we're available all the time with the board and the district to get in there and to find something to work.
The vote does not necessarily mean a strike will happen, but allows union leaders to go through the proper legal steps to call for one. The next bargaining session is scheduled for Friday. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Unit 4 Board of Education says in a statement that the vote is disheartening and that the board proposal would help student outcomes. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday announced $220 million for projects to improve transit systems and ports outside of the Chicago area. The state funding will pay for a new main facility for the Chris Rural Mass Transit District serving rural Vermilion County. There's also state money for hybrid buses in Decatur and the expansion of a solar array that powers the production of hydrogen for Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit's hydrogen buses. Pritzker made the announcement in East St. Louis. He says he's focused on investing in similar minority communities across the state that have usually been overlooked.
We've made many, many investments that are the foundations of building a base for job growth, for economic growth in this area. I want to do even more.
He says the funding fits into an overall investment of $600 million into ports and transit in downstate Illinois. Pritzker says the funding will strengthen Illinois' position as the transportation hub of North America. A new study suggests CBD, the non-psychoactive ingredient of the cannabis plant, can block COVID-19. Michael Puente explains.
The study involved examining medical records of 1,200 patients taking CBD to treat epilepsy. It shows that taking a high-quality, FDA-approved CBD product can potentially inhibit the COVID virus from mutating. Marsha Rosner, the senior author of the study at the Ben May Department of Cancer Research at the University of Chicago.
We don't know yet if CBD can prevent COVID, but our results provide a strong case for conducting a clinical trial to determine whether CBD is effective at either preventing or decreasing COVID infection.
One thing that Rosner is certain about is that smoking marijuana does not prevent people from getting COVID, and she says people still need to get vaccinated and wear masks. Michael Puente, WBEZ News.
A Champaign firefighter is in severe but stable condition at a local hospital after helping to contain a fire at a house on Flora Drive yesterday afternoon. Fire officials have not released any information on the firefighter's identity, but say the individual breathed in hot, smoke-filled air after their mask became dislodged from their face. Officials say the firefighter was able to escape from the house where fire and EMS crews began providing medical care. They say no one was home at the time of the fire, but that one resident of the building will be displaced because of the damage. Investigators have not yet determined its cause. Still to come, we'll learn more about the issue of staff sexual assault in prisons. The latest national data shows nearly 6,000 reports per year. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
RFDS is a gripping drama that tells the story of the modern-day heroes of Australia's Royal Flying Doctor Service. This fictional series is based on real-life adventures, and it follows the service's pilots, doctors, and nurses as they navigate their turbulent private lives while they attend to emergencies across the Australian outback. Watch this and other international dramas like Seaside Hotel and Thou Shalt Not Kill with WILL Passport. Learn how you can stream today at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The job of a correctional officer is to keep people safe. But inside prisons across the U.S., allegations of sexual abuse are common. The latest national data shows nearly 6,000 reports of staff sexual misconduct a year. Side Effects Public Media's Jake Harper and Lauren Bavis have this story from the podcast Sick. A note for listeners, this story includes descriptions of sexual assaults.
Several years ago, Cynthia Long was incarcerated at the Indiana Women's Prison in Indianapolis. She remembers walking through the prison yard when she saw a guard she didn't recognize.
He kind of did a double take and stopped me and said, "What's your name?" And I told him. He mocked my accent and he said, "Well, I'm going to call you Kentucky."
That guard's name was Lamont Williams. He declined to comment for this story, so what we can report comes from what Cynthia told us and court records. Cynthia's job in prison was to clean one of the units. One day in 2014, she needed to fix a mop, so she went into a supply closet. Williams followed her.
He yanked my pants down and forced himself into me. I'm turning this way, and I'm trying to fight him off and get around. Finally, what makes him stop is there's a woman in a wheelchair yelling for somebody. And that's when he gets done and leaves.
Cynthia says Williams sexually abused her again a few months later when he forced her to perform oral sex.
After each incident, Cynthia chose not to tell anyone. And that's not surprising, says Julia Bate with Just Detention International, a nonprofit focused on ending sexual abuse in detention settings. Women may choose not to report an assault because they feel ashamed or worry about repercussions. Abate says guards control so much of their lives, including who can visit them in prison.
Basically, they can restrict your access to your children, and that is the most powerful form of coercion, I think, that there is for a mother who's locked up in prison.
What is unusual, Abate says, is that the guard, Williams, was prosecuted for the sexual contact. Cynthia eventually reported what had happened to her and turned over Williams's DNA. She had saved his sperm in a tissue after the second incident.
Investigators heard two stories. Cynthia said she was sexually assaulted by a guard twice. The guard said the encounters were consensual. But federal law and laws in most states make sex between incarcerated people and correction staff illegal. Many legal experts like Abate say consent can't exist between a guard and a person they protect.
There's just an inability for a person who's locked up to consent to sexual activity to the person who is locking her up just because of the differences in power dynamics.
Williams was arrested and charged with sexual misconduct, but he was not charged with rape or sexual battery, which would indicate force or a threat of force was involved. Williams pleaded guilty and got 2 years of house arrest and some community service. He did not serve time in prison. Cynthia says the charges didn't reflect what happened to her.
See, that's another thing that upsets me is we're the victims. We don't have a say in the plea. You know what I'm saying? They don't come and ask us, is this acceptable to you? I mean, I'm still a human being, whether I'm behind a razor wire or not.
Neither the state nor the prosecutor's office would talk to us. Even with Cynthia's account and the DNA evidence, a spokesman for the prosecutor said in an email that sexual misconduct was the appropriate charge.
The effects of sexual assault for women like Cynthia can last. Since her release, she's needed counseling, and she still takes medication for PTSD.
We all have ways that we cope that aren't healthy. You know, my weight went up, which has caused me heart problems, and my breathing's worse. I'm on 3 inhalers now, and so I think, am I really coping with it? Probably not.
Julia Bate says prisons need to critically examine when assaults happen to figure out how to prevent them. We asked the Indiana Department of Correction about that. Officials declined to talk to us. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Jake Harper.
And I'm Lauren Bavis.
You can listen to the full second season of Sick at sickpodcast.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy and warmer today with a chance of flurries and a high of 36 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Eric Schmidt, Michael Puente, Lauren Bavis, and Jake Harper. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.